where Trumbull comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. State Senator Will Haskell on board. We'll be with him in just a moment, but I wanted to let you know that New York City is offering a streamlined way of showing a photo through its NYC COVID Safe app. So if you're somebody who's going to be going to the city, you can store the image of your vaccine card on this, and then you open the app and there it is, boom. And I guess it will have some kind of more official looking imprimatur. It's called the NYC COVID Safe app. So you can store your vaccine card on that. You should also have it as a photo in general on your iPhone or your Samsung or whatever you have. But if you have this app, it might even be easier with a one thumbprint, and you go in and people are going to get going to start getting used to seeing it, because in New York City, you'll have to start carrying your COVID-19 vaccine card or a digital copy to get into bars, nightclubs, and restaurants, as well as concerts. Joining us now is State Senator Will Haskell, who is going to tell us a little bit more about a new bill that was passed in Connecticut to hopefully give some rights to pedestrians and make some drivers, as we are both in both capacities very often, drivers or pedestrians. We understand that as drivers, we have a maximum obligation to pedestrians, even if they're not in the crosswalk. Hello, Will Haskell. Hi, State Senator Haskell. Welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me. As always, thrilled to be here.
So tell me, Senator, what is this new bill, and what does it do differently than that used to be the law?
Yeah, it's colloquial. It's colloquially known around the Capitol as the Vision Zero bill, and it really was the brainchild of two people. Neither of whom are myself. Representative Roland Lamar, who represents New Haven, where there have been just a catastrophic and tragic number of pedestrian fatalities, as well as Garrett Ucolito, our Deputy Commissioner of Transportation. I think overall, the message to take away here is that transportation policy is about more than just wider highways or faster trains. It's about getting people where they need to go safely. And now, really for the first time in Connecticut's history, our Department of Transportation is going to be tasked with planning for pedestrians and not just motor vehicles. So the bill makes a number of overdue reforms in my mind. It increases fines for distracted driving. I don't know about you, but I've seen that on the rise in Fairfield County. It creates new protections for cyclists against dooring, which is when, you know, somebody's biking by and is surprised when a passenger or driver's side door suddenly opens and, frankly, risks their life or at least serious injury. And maybe the most important element of the bill, Lisa, is that it gives local authorities greater capacity to lower speed limits on local roads. So very often I hear from a first electman in my district who's frustrated that cars are just going too fast on North Avenue, for example, or some other road. This bill will sort of take the Hartford bureaucracy out of the process and allow local officials to lower speed limits in areas that they see fit.
That's amazing. Even on a thoroughfare like North Avenue, which is a double yellow line kind of a road?
Yeah, so they have to go through a few different processes. It's not as though they have unilateral ability to just lower the speed limit. But so long as there's a majority vote in most towns, it's the Board of Selectmen, or it depends exactly upon the designation of who in town is the traffic authority and the legislative body. But now it's going to be a lot easier for local residents and neighborhoods to go to town hall and say, hey, we're seeing really high speeds, especially North Avenue is just an example that came to mind because I was driving on that road this morning and speeds are really high, especially in a school zone. We want to make sure that kids can travel to and from school safely. And unfortunately, we're seeing so many of the accidents in Connecticut related to really untenably high speeds. And by the way,
it's very interesting. We're chatting with State Senator Will Haskell. There are two points on the Post Road in Westport, two different places. One is right around the CVS where it connects to Trader Joe's along, you know, across the Post Road there. That is notorious for people not being able to walk safely across there. And the other one, which just has a crosswalk but doesn't have much else, is where the old Baskin-Robbins used to be across to the old Haagen-Dazs. As you can see, I connect my ice cream stores. And that one
that
also...
Well.
You know what I mean? That's another one where people have gotten hit by a car on the post road because drivers don't slow down in crosswalks. And I can't tell you how many times as a walker I gesticulate, that's a very kind way of putting it, at the driver who just wants to go right by me and often does as I'm trying to walk in a crosswalk. It's crazy.
Well, you bring up such an important part of this bill that I neglected to mention. Previously, the only way legally that a pedestrian could signal their intention to cross and therefore require drivers to stop is to actually step out into the crosswalk. So drivers had to risk their lives in order to interrupt oncoming traffic. Under this new bill, pedestrians would have the right to signal by, to borrow your word, gesticulating, to use their right. hands to signal that they intend to cross the road. And in doing so, drivers would be required to stop. But look, we're just getting started with this bill. We know it's not going to save every life right away, but it creates a Vision Zero Council because that really is the goal. There were 308 traffic fatalities last year. There were 65 pedestrian deaths in Connecticut. It's now the official policy in the state of Connecticut that that's 308 lives too many, that it's 65 pedestrians too many. We are aiming for zero, and we're going to keep working until we get there.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can tell you that in my court, in the last year, two pedestrian deaths in our district. And they end up, you know, I hate to say it, but everything ends up in probate court. And it just does because they're... And in that way, one of them ended up because the court had to approve what they call a compromise of claim of the estate. In other words, this poor young man, he died. He didn't have a will or anything because he was too young to die and too young to think about a will. And his poor parents came and they sued on behalf of the estate, of course, because he was hit by a car on the corner of Bulkley and the Post Road while walking back from work. And he was killed. And I mean, whenever I hear that, you know, my father, when I learned how to drive, he didn't teach me how to drive, but of course, parents always teach their kids how to drive. You know what I mean? Like, it's what they do. And the one thing my father had drilled into my head all the time, forever and forever, was the pedestrian always has the right of way. Period, end. It doesn't matter. They're in a crosswalk. They're not in a crosswalk. They're jaywalking. They're not jaywalking. It doesn't matter. A pedestrian is walking. You slow up, you stop. The other thing he always told me is watch out for balls. If there was ever a ball in the street come to a full stop, there could be a kid running after the ball.
Yes.
Always. That's full stop.
Such good advice. You know, and the truth of the matter, Lisa, is I'm a big believer in state government, but I'm also a big supporter of local government. And you and I, just in the course of this conversation, have identified a few intersections that are especially problematic, a few roads that are especially dangerous in our shared town of Westport. I think that local officials are best empowered to figure out where there have been incidents, where there are tragedies in the future that could be avoided. And it's frankly not a job best done by somebody in a bureaucratic office in Hartford. That's why we're handing over increased authority to local officials. I really do think that that's an important part of the equation.
So we're chatting with State Senator Will Haskell. I've got a question for you that comes from a police officer who was recently a guest on Melissa Sheketoff's show in the morning here on WICC. The conversation was about this bill, and the police officer suggested that he thought a better approach, from his point of view, would be to have some kind of a policy that drivers, every once in a while, whatever that once in a while was, be required to take another exam before getting a driver's license. I'm not advocating this at all. I'm just wondering, do you think that that would be good public policy to require people to get a refresher course and pass a refresher course to stay a driver? What do you think about that?
Almost like a continuing ed course the lawyers have to take, right?
Yeah,
that's an interesting idea. Hard to administer, and also, you know, there's some probably financial hurdles and logistical hurdles that would get in the way. But it's an interesting idea, and I think that the reality is there are also some folks, and this has been borne out in tragic ways in the communities that I represent, who are maybe a little bit older and maybe shouldn't be driving. So I think before such a policy like that comes into play, we should all just constantly evaluate our own ability to drive. If obviously, if you've had too much to drink, don't drive. If you feel as though your vision isn't, prepared to take on the dangers and the surprises of the roadway, please exercise caution. By the way, I say this, I'm actually on my way to pick up my grandparents, and they're 83 and 84, and they recently made the decision that they no longer want to drive themselves. Thankfully, there was no accident that inspired them to make that decision, but rather a general uneasiness with the road and the feeling that they would far prefer to be safe than sorry and make this decision before something bad happened. I think we should all be encouraging loved ones to make similar decisions.
Let me ask you this, Senator Haskell, 83 and 84, that's very young in my family, just so you know, very young. That's like teenagers. But it is. But
They'll be thrilled.
You can tell them.
I'm pulling into their driveway in just a few minutes, and you're going to make their day.
I got to ask you, if they don't live in an urban environment, if they live in something other than urban, how are they going to manage their lives without driving?
Well, it's challenging, but they live in Westport in an area that isn't so far from the downtown. So they can, luckily, they're fortunate enough to be able to walk onto Main Street. But also the real answer here, Lisa, is that they've got a lot of family in the area. I'm one of many cousins and who live nearby. So they're able to rely on their kids and their grandkids to deliver groceries and drive them if they need to go a long distance. So,
they have a walkable life. Okay, good. That's good.
They do. And I bring it up just because I think, I really admire the responsibility that it undergirds their decision to rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, me too.
I know we're short on time, but you've got so many listeners in Greenwich and Stamford and New Canaan. I just wanted to make sure, I'm sure you've already mentioned it today, but it's a special election day. In the 36th
district. Yes, it is. So a big one.
Polls are open until 8 p.m. I was out door knocking this morning. The response is great. I hope that your listeners vote. I hope that perhaps they'll consider supporting my friend Alexis Gavanter, but most importantly, in these special elections, even a handful of votes can make a difference. So I'd be remiss to go on the air today and not mention the special election where every single vote can make a difference.
It definitely does. And I've been mentioning it as well. State Senator Will Haskell, thank you so much for joining us today. And say hello to your grandparents for me.
Thank you, Lisa. Have a great day.
Thank you. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.